And what's happening is that mankind has rejected it because it's so simple. They're looking for complicated answers. They're looking for puzzles that have no answers. And yet, it's been here all this time. All we have to do is follow these teachings, and the inner peace that we so desire is the answer to every single problem that man can come up with, whether it be business, whether it be at home, whether it be family, whether it be life, whether it be anything. So, again, as far as goals are concerned, I don't get into goals. I have a dear friend who I love very much, and he came to me one day, and he said, "Saul, I'm setting a goal for 5 years from now, and I'm going to be really happy and rich and get all the things I want in 5 years." And I said, "How are you right this moment?" And he said to me, "I don't feel too good." And I said, "Well, why worry about 5 years from now when it's now that counts? What the course is doing is teaching us how to deal with right this moment. There is no past to worry about. There is no future to worry about. It's the now that we have to deal with in order to gain that inner peace. You can prepare 100 arguments for or against that thought, but yet what it's really all about is feeling good right at this moment. It makes no difference if you feel good 20 years from now or if you felt lousy 20 years ago. What you have to deal with is right this moment. And if you can feel comfortable and have that inner peace right at this very moment, you got it all. That's where the wealth comes in. Okay? Because everything comes to you with inner peace, in abundance. And what this whole day is all about, and what the entire message is for today, is how to manifest prosperity through faith, according to Bridge Builder's sheet on me. And I have done it. Now, that doesn't make me a millionaire, because I couldn't care two hoots, truly, if I had $500,000 in the bank or if I had 5 cents in the bank. I am at my happiest right at this very moment. And the prosperity that we must have in order to manifest any further prosperity is this inner peace, which is what these books are all about. Okay? So we have been given a means, we have been given a vehicle, we have been given a dynamic thought system that works. Don't take my word for it. Try it yourselves. See if it doesn't work for you. I've seen thousands of people who have become very, very wealthy in every sense of the word. And it's attributable totally to their inner peace, which they've gotten out of doing A Course in Miracles. Is it the only way? Certainly not. There are many ways. But before you can manifest anything that will help you, you must have that inner peace. Because without it, you can't do anything. You're in confusion. You're in the throes of ego. And let's just talk about that for a little bit. Are there any questions before I go into this? Yes. Search me. I don't know. I don't know. But Helen did have visions, and I'll tell an interesting story before I go into the two thought systems. One of the stories that Judy Scutch tells, and I heard Helen tell it herself, was that when all this was coming about, Helen had a vision that she was to go out to the Mayo Clinic for some reason. And in preparation for going to Mayo Clinic, she had a vision and saw very clearly a church with two very distinctive towers. And she drew a picture of that church and towers as best she could, and then took a trip out to the Mayo Clinic. And when she got to Mayo Clinic, she hailed a cab driver and showed the cab driver this drawing, this rather crude drawing that she had made, but yet with very definitive features. The cab driver looked at it and he said, "Lady, I've been driving a cab in this town for many years, and certainly I would know there is no such place." And she went about her business kind of disappointed that she had seen something that wasn't there and was told that it was there. And finished with her business at Mayo, went to the airport and bought one of these souvenir books, you know, which told about the history of that particular time. I think it's in Rochester, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. And she bought one of these little guidebooks, travel books, put it in her purse, and encountered a woman who was very distressed. And she picked up immediately on this woman's distress and went over to her and offered to help, and did in fact help the woman, and the woman, she made her more comfortable. And she got on the plane, and as she got on the plane, she went into her purse and pulled out this little guidebook that she had purchased. And she opened it up, and lo and behold, saw her church in the guidebook, but an exact replica of the drawing she had made. And what it was, the caption underneath told that this church was torn down and made way for the building of the Mayo Clinic. They had put the Mayo Clinic right on top of where this church had stood. So I'm sure that Helen did see a great deal, and certainly was very, very intuitive, certainly more than I've shared with you folks today. And, of course, as I said before, Spirit knew just the people, the right people, you know, to choose to pick on to do this work and get it out in front of the rest of the world. I want to talk for a moment about this ego and spirit path that we have. And that is something that I think is really important. You see, when we were given the Holy Spirit as our bridge, and it's very fitting that we should be talking today to a group of people with Bridge Builders as a name, because that's exactly what we have been given in the Holy Spirit, is a bridge. This is God's bridge to us. And along with that, we have the ability to make our choices. And I would feel remiss if I didn't mention to you something I strongly believe, and something that the Course tells us, and that is that in these choices, we can go with the spirit path, or we can take the ego path. Now, most of you know, of course, in Course in Miracles, the ego path is the negative thought system that we can choose to listen to and usually wind up feeling rather sorry for ourselves having made that decision, because the ego is always waiting for us and is always ready to pounce and get us off on the wrong road. And one of the things that is constantly asked and posed to me as a question in almost everything that I talk about and every place I go is, how does one recognize when it's spirit's voice or when it's ego's voice? And it's a fair question. Certainly, without practice, it's not an easy thing. But I have developed on my own something that works for me, and I'll share it with all of you today because I love you all. And I find that when I ask, if I'm totally 100% comfortable and peaceful and loving with the answer I get, there's no doubt in my mind I'm hearing Spirit's voice. On the other hand, if it's even 100% uncomfortable, then I'm being told something and it's not Spirit's voice. Spirit is very direct, and the answers that come are very, very clear and concise. If you don't get a clear, definitive answer on what it is you're asking, then take the time and ask again, or perhaps even ask differently. Ask a different question to perhaps arrive at a comfortable answer. But if you feel the slightest bit uncomfortable with that answer, regardless of what it is, then you know that you're hearing the voice of ego and not the voice of spirit. Well, again, I just want to say that we are gathered here today to teach each other. And what this program has been all about is a sharing, as Dan mentioned before. And you're looking at a very, very successful human being. A man who has it made in every sense of the word, because I have found the true meaning of living. And that's a major accomplishment in one's lifetime. We all can share in that accomplishment, and all we have to do is just want to do it. We just have to take that first step. So that we need never feel that we've been deserted by God. We need never feel that everything that's beautiful in life is not ours. And certainly we need never feel that everything that's beautiful is something that we're not entitled to, because we are. And I just would like to close with something that I've written, which appears on the order forms that I use in my catalog, and it was guidance that came to me, and I'm kind of proud of it because I'm not a writer, but it's something that a lot of people have found some peace in, and that a lot of people have told me they've enjoyed reading sometimes even more than my catalog, which is fine. And it goes something like this. Coleman Graphics, located in Long Island, New York, is rapidly becoming this nation's leading holistic printers and publishers. The reason is uncomplicated and simple. We want to help. Our story started some 8 years ago when we were chosen by the Foundation for Inner Peace to become the official printers of A Course in Miracles, a hardcover, three-volume set of a divinely inspired guide in eliminating guilt and fear, currently in its 11th printing. How these wonderful books have changed all of our lives. We have learned to ask for Spirit's help in dealing with the everyday tensions and problems in the running of a printing and publishing business, and we've also learned how to listen for the helpful answers that always come rapidly and guidingly. In the past 8 years, many authors involved in various forms of holism, as well as other disciplines, have come to us lovingly to produce their books and literature, and it has indeed been an exciting and loving time period for us as well as for them. We are constantly trying to improve our services and the high quality of our work, and in addition to our holistic clients and friends, our business accounts are steadily taking notice of our strong desire to help. All of our people are motivated and active in holistic activities, and we would have it no other way. We therefore want you to know that we are available and willing to guide and help you in publishing, printing, and distributing your next book, brochure, or any printing or advertising endeavors, and that we welcome your inquiries and will cheerfully estimate any of your work already done or planned in the future. No obligation, of course. In closing, we recognize that we are in a period where self-help and holistic health are here to stay and will certainly be the guide to better living for all of us. Let us do as we're doing for others like you. And I sign with my name, Saul Steinberg. So that's a little bit of what we're all about. And certainly we do have a strong desire to in any way serve and help our brothers as best we can. Can I answer any questions? Yes.
What's the story about the dorm fire?
The what?
The dorm fire.
Oh yes, I told the story last night, and I'll share it for the people, for the benefit of the people who weren't present last night, and it's a good one. There's in the Melville group. There was a very dear man by the name of Julius. And Julius was a man about 42 years of age who was a miracle student, as we all are, and had decided to go back to college to become a lawyer. And he was doing miracles, and we'd have a really good time with Julius, you know, poking fun at him, going back to school at that age and, you know, getting in with all these 20 and 22-year-olds. And one day, Julius came back and shared with us a fantastic story in which the place that he lived, the dorm that he lived, had a serious fire, and that, thank God, nobody was hurt, but the building burned to the ground. Every possession and every single piece of furniture and every piece of clothing of every student that lived in that dorm was totally burned beyond recognition. He said, Saul, he says, you make a fairly good book. He says, the only thing that didn't burn were my three books, The Course in Miracles. And I said, Julius, I said, I'm a pretty wise businessman. I'll give you two sets for your one. And he said, I'll never give up that set of books. And he hasn't, as far as I know. But everything in that fire went up except that set of books.
Have you shipped any of these to the White House?
Yes. 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 As a matter of fact, the answer to that question is yes. We shipped a set of books when President Carter was in the White House. We shipped a set to Jimmy and never heard anything further on it, and had to use a code name from a friend of his, as a matter of fact, was the one that bought the set and shipped them into the White House. And we had to use a code name to get into the White House with the set, and they were received because they never came back. And then we also sent a set to Nancy Reagan about a year ago, and I've never heard anything further on that. They never came back. Yes?
One short question. You keep talking about the job to be done. Certain people were there, and they were there because they were capable of getting the job done. Mm-hmm. What job you see has yet to be done, and is there a selection process that you're aware of?
Yes. Indeed, there is. The job, very simply put, is to inform every last person that this is available and that there is a way of living our lives with love, with peace, with beauty, and the spirit way. And as far as I'm concerned, and what spirit wants is for every single one of us, no exclusions, to become a part of it. So my function has become one of getting this work known to people like yourself and sharing it with people so that you then become a teacher and go out and tell of your experiences with it, which you will have or may have already had. And there are, I'm sure at this moment, thousands of interesting little stories, you know, that people have to share with one another. And I think an organization, as Dan is starting with Bridge Builders, is a perfect way of doing just that. Because we are all brothers and sisters. There is not a one of us that is here in this earth, whether we're sitting in an audience here, or someone sitting in a prison, or someone in another country, we are all brothers. And the sooner we recognize it, the sooner we all can have this very beautiful manifestation of wealth and everything else that we need, and certainly in a peace.
You made several comments. You made some interesting ones last night about reincarnation. Would you share it with some of the others?
I did.
Your own feelings
about it. Oh, okay. Okay. The course deals with reincarnation and says it's a very pleasant thing, and if you want to, you know, get into reincarnation, that's fine, but where we're really at, of course, is the now. So it matters not if you were a murderer in another lifetime or what's coming makes no difference. But what I did say last night, and I think what you're referring to, is of course my own feeling in that what it's all about, and this is something I've tried to reason out, and which makes perfect sense to me, is that we're here and we come to this plane to learn. It's all a learning experience. And somehow or another, we're talking about 10 steps which we have to travel. Now that 10 steps, as I mentioned, might be 10 steps, might be 10,000 steps, might be 100, could be any amount, we don't know. But certainly those 10 steps are steps, and each step we take as taking us closer to God. Now, in taking those steps, each time we come back, we're taking another step closer and learning more and more lessons so that we don't have to repeat. We don't have to come back in another lifetime and make the same kind of mistakes we've made in this lifetime. That's why it's totally unimportant as to what's past, 10 minutes ago or 10 years ago. When we get into Freudian psychology, they talk about, I'm no good because my mother pinched my cheek when I was 3 years old. And I hate my mother for it. Well, what does that mean for today? It doesn't mean a darn thing, and that's why Freudian psychology is not the answer. We've had Freudian psychology around, and it makes really no sense that whatever triggered you to do whatever you've done, let it go. Forget about it. Get rid of it. Bury it. Because there's only one time you have to deal with, and that's the now. That's right this moment. If you can feel good now, if you can spread love now, if you can love your brother now, you don't have to worry about 20 minutes from now. It's now that really matters. And you certainly don't have to worry about 10 years ago. So again, my feeling is that with these incarnations that we come for, it's strictly to learn. We've got a learning process that we've come here for, and we can teach each other. We can teach the rest of our brothers, and that's our function. It's the task with which we've been assigned. And we know only one thing with positive force and dynamics, and that's in the very beginning of the book. It said, it is a required course. It asks nothing else. It asks nothing else. It doesn't tell you to change. It doesn't ask you to convert. It doesn't ask you to do anything except open up your own awareness to the possibilities that there is a better way. And this little gal in Texas asked me some years ago at that meeting at Jerry's home, Jerry Fankhouse's home. I remember she raised her hand. She was sitting there all night. And I could almost guarantee I was the first Jewish guy she ever saw in her life. And I remember she was sitting there, and she never said a word and never asked a question, and she was a cute little gal. And she's sitting there, and finally, at the end of the evening, she raised her hand, and she said, Mr. Steinberg, she said, what are you now? And with lightning rapidity, I shot back at her, I'm the same thing I've always been, only a good deal smarter. And that was the answer. And that's what we open ourselves up to education. That we all have the ability to add to our knowledge. There's nothing wrong with the knowledge we have now. We don't have to feel in any way guilty that we haven't come across Course in Miracles before this. It's okay. All we have to recognize is that God has given us the Holy Spirit, which is within us, and that we have certainly the ability to change the world. And all we have to do is go out and do it. Yes?
If we have the ability to change the world, and the Holy Spirit is the same, then we don't have to be concerned about nuclear fallout.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The very last thing I worry about, truly, is nuclear energy or nuclear power, and I honestly, absolutely agree with you. Now, that's my opinion. Others here might not agree. But again, this is all illusion that we're here with. The real world is spirit. So that we really don't have to concern ourselves with someone dropping a bomb on us, okay? Because that's putting fear into us now, okay? These people who go out and protest and who go out and break down fences and go out and protest this or protest that, that's their privilege to do so, and certainly they should be allowed to do so if they feel it's necessary. But what they're really projecting is fear. They're frightened people. And there's no need to be frightened because God takes care of each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. No exceptions.
Can I take this a step further?
Sure.
In the holy instance, you ready for this? Of the nuclear holocaust, that we go somewhere else to have a holy instance. No.
It's an interesting point that you bring up, and one that I've thought about. And I'll give you what my thoughts are on that. Is there anyone in this room that does not think of God in a very beautiful way? By the show of no hands, I assume that everyone feels exactly the way I feel, that certainly being with God is a very beautiful thing. Well, if that's so, what is there to fear? If going back to your father is really what it's all about, what on earth is there to fear or to be fearful of? Because ultimately, it's a beautiful place to be. Pardon me? Sure we are. Sure we are. I agree. We are there now, and It often happens that we get in our own way. So all we have to recognize is that it's totally here all the time, and we do forget sometimes, certainly. And when we're fearful, it's easy to forget. Yes?
I just want to share that I heard Bishop Sheen say many years ago, and I forgot because it's very meaningful. He said, we all came from the infinite. We're striving to get back to the infinite, only we don't know it. I don't know if it means anything to you, but it had a lot of meaning. I think it's the same thing that you just said as far as
I think so. And the again, there's nothing that we need fear, and Roosevelt said it so beautifully, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, which was at a time in this country's history when certainly we needed to hear those kind of words. But they ring true, and I think those words, very often when I see someone in a fearful space, and sometimes the fear of something is worse than the something. Well, are there any other questions? If there aren't, I just want to say one more thing, and that is that I love you all, and I thank you for being here. And wouldn't have missed this day for all the world. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I just want to say I love you, and I've enjoyed every moment of it.